Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, May 28th, 2016. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dubey. Here are our top stories this evening. The MTCT says its public protests are a peaceful way of engaging the government and other stakeholders.
It's our constitutional right, Section 59 of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, entitles citizens to demonstrate and petition the government to vent their anger. This is a peaceful exercise.
This evening, we are featuring a Mandela Washington fellow, Tinashe Mbasa of ZimKids.
I grew up with videos and often looking at the situation as being a lie. So by that, it motivated me to grow up to be like who I am today, that I understand what often go through.
And as usual, we'll focus on women's issues. Stay tuned. The MTC formation led by Moken Tsvangirai says public protests are a peaceful way of engaging the government and other stakeholders on issues affecting Zimbabwe. The MTCT, which has been of late staging protests in the country to press the government to tackle poverty, corruption and other issues, says non-violence has become its political signature. Felix Makalela Sibandamafa, the MTCT's Bulawayo provincial spokesperson, speaks about these protests.
Section 59 of the Constitution of Zimbabwe entitles citizens to demonstrate and petition the government to vent their anger. This is a peaceful exercise. We hope the generality of citizenry are going to be conscious of these rights.
Is there any other way you can actually force the government to change apart from staging these protests?
This is the beginning, but not the end. The level of consciousness as it grows, people will direct the operation. We will depend on people's power. We can't reveal all our strategies, but we have plenty of them.
That was Felix Makalela Sibandamafa speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. For perspective, we reached Nkululeko Spanda of Waterfield University in London.
Given that the MDC is opposition to ZANU-PF and that it has been arranging opposition rallies much longer, it needs to continue to seem to outmaneuver and outdo Mugabe in terms of popular and public show of force.
Is it possible really to achieve, let's say, a democratic society through protests?
Not in the Zimbabwean context, not in the short term and not in the long run. Certainly because discontent is being managed at the top, and when it is being managed at the top, it tends to have a lot of considerations. It tends to be, you know, one of those demonstrations, public demonstrations, where you have a risk assessment sheet. And if you have a risk assessment sheet, which means you're looking at the other side and saying, well, there's so many police officers in the street, this is how far we'll go. And you cannot put pressure on a government as long as you're going out with a risk assessment sheet. You go out with the idea to put force on the government until something is done. And that is not likely to happen in the Zimbabwean context very soon, primarily because public marches and demonstrations are organized from the top.
That was Nkululeko Sibanda, a political analyst based at Huddersfield University in London, speaking with Studio 7. A space built by orphans, run by orphans for orphans, is how 2016 Mandela Washington fellow Tinashe Mbasa describes ZimKids Orphan Trust. Mbasa, selected among 59 other young Zimbabweans for President Barack Obama's yearly initiative, says it was his own childhood that led him to fight for the rights of orphaned children. He speaks to reporter Tatenda Kumbo.
When I got my final answer that I'm one of the 60, I got excited that I didn't know what to do with myself, looking at my background and looking at that I'm one of those people who doesn't have all levels and I'm making it in life. So it's really big for me.
You have an organization called ZimKids where you're promoting basic rights for children. Tell me more about that.
I grew up with videos and often looking at the situations as being in life. So by that, it motivated me to grow up to be like who I am today, that I understand what orphans go through and I can teach them, I can motivate them that, you know, no matter what you go through, you can make it in life, so that they, you know, don't look down upon themselves. And so I'm there as the orphan ambassador, you know, to speak for them, because I know what it is, you know, growing up as an orphan. Although I had parents, but I didn't get that attention. So it made me feel like I'm one of them.
For many of us, Tinashe, we see orphans and we think that we understand their plight. But what are some of the challenges orphans face day to day that you at Zim Kids are trying to help to combat?
Mostly, so I'll start with school fees. You know, usually when some of the, you know, people who live with orphans, like when their parents, soon after they die, they say, oh, you know, when we take care of them. And then as time goes on, they don't do as they promise. So at Zim Kids, we pay for school fees for the orphans, and we give them a safe haven for them. So at Zim Kids, we are not like an orphanage, but we are an orphan center where they come during the day, because we feel like it's very important that these kids will be still connected to their family, you know, as compared to an orphanage when we are done with them, like when we have an exit program, when like they turn 21, they have to go out of the program. You know, they don't know where to go, but compared to what we have, they have somewhere to go because they still have a home where they live and they come to us.
And how many kids are you able to assist through Zim Kids?
So far, we have over 200.
When you come to the United States, where will you be located before you make the coveted trip to come see President Barack Obama?
So I'm going to be doing the, I'm on the civic leadership track, and I'm going to be at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina.
That was Tinashe Basa, a 2016 Mandela Washington Fellow, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. In our show, Girls, Youth and Development, this evening we are talking with Nyaratso Masha Amombe, Director of Take a Life International, an organization fighting for the rights of girls and women. Masha Amombe speaks about the role of girls and women on the public protest codenamed hashtag this flag, spearheaded by Ivan Mawarire.
I think for a long time we've had our identity or the national flag not relating to us, the issues of the land and other things. Zimbabweans, the normal Zimbabweans, were not speaking around them, or they were not identifying themselves with them. But I think this flag, what it has done is to say, you know what, this flag is ours. It doesn't belong to ZANU-PF, it doesn't belong to MDC, it doesn't belong to any political party, but it belongs to citizens. And what that means now is that citizens are holding accountable those that they put in power to say, you have to account to us. So what this also means is that people are raising up and saying, you know what, this is my flag. You know what, this is my land. You know what, this is my country. These are my resources. Tell me what you've been doing. We entrusted you to do ABCD for us. That hasn't been happening. People are suffering. Children are not going to school. Women are being beaten. They've lost their jobs. Men are helpless. They can't help their families.
But what is the role of girls and women in this kind of activism?
When we're looking at girls and women in this whole scenario, is to identify themselves as first of all Zimbabweans. So this flag symbolizes people speaking out, people asking questions, people demanding better services, people actually saying, you know what, we want better leadership that will look into our issues. So women and girls are part of those processes because they are the first to be affected if things don't go right. For instance, we have a lot of children not going to school, especially girls, they're getting married young. Why? Because the education is not accessible to everybody because it's unaffordable. And we know that girls and women are more susceptible to issues of HIV and child abuse in the form of prostitution and other things because they're trying to survive, because the environment that they're living in is not conducive. It's not giving them the basic human dignity or the basic necessities like food, like shelter. So you find that women and girls are the most affected.
So now, how do they, you know, participate in this without getting hurt?
Girls and women holding the their local leaders holding their government accountable is well within their rights, and nobody should ever feel like they're harmed. And if anybody gets harmed, I think the law should protect them.
That was Nyaratso Masha Mombe, director of Take a Life International, an organization fighting for the rights of girls and women. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Like many nations, the United States pauses each year to honor those who died in its defense through military service. The custom is an ancient one, recalling a speech by the Athenian statesman Pericles that the casualties of war are worthy men, and the living need not have a more heroic spirit. On Monday, May 30th, Memorial Day, in communities across America, there will be speeches striking similar themes, and a moment of silence will be observed. Like the poppies in Flanders Fields, small flags will be seen among the graves in the nation's many military cemeteries, and the families of the fallen will stop to remember. Beyond mere ceremony, the day represents a debt paid by the living to those Americans who made the ultimate sacrifice to ensure their country's freedom. Some died in battle, some of disease. Others were lost in foreign prisons and never returned. Most died very young, defending their nation's ideals and liberties, perhaps even before they had much of a chance to fully appreciate them. Hundreds of thousands died fighting to make others free, too, in North Africa, Europe, the Pacific, Asia, and the Middle East. Memorial Day honors no single battle or war. Its meaning transcends heroic monuments. Rather, it is the recognition by a grateful nation that lives and blood lost in defense of its freedoms are never given in vain.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we're gladly joined by Mrs. Ekenia Chifamba of Chamarie Mwanasikana, who says her organization is putting together an awareness campaign to help educate women and young girls about the dangers of human trafficking. Welcome to the Women's Forum.
Good evening, Marvelous. My name is Ekenia, the director of Chamarie Mwanasikana. Chamarie Mwanasikana is a community-based organization that seeks to promote the rights and empowerment of the girl child that is in the home and the school and also in the communities. And we ensure that we provide a one-stop shop for our girls in our efforts to emancipate them.
What have you got lined up? I understand you've got some very exciting programs that you have lined up for young women and girls.
Thank you, Marvelous. We have quite a number of programs that we have lined up in our efforts to emancipate the girl child. The most important events will be taking place in Seke Rural, Mashonaland East. We have realized that there is an increase in statistics of girls who are falling victims of trafficking. Most of us have had stories in the newspapers and also on radio, and others have read some stuff on internet about women who were trafficked to Kuwait and others also, other areas like Egypt, Syria. And amongst those women, there are also girls who are around the ages of 18 who fall within our age range. And we also have girls who are being trafficked from Zimbabwe to the nearby countries like Botswana and also South Africa.
Who made a request for you to come and have such a program in partnership with yourselves?
What we do as an organization, we work with the communities. Most of our work is in the communities, working with the traditional leaders and also the religious leaders as well as the community members. So we realize that as an organization, with the statistics that continue to rise of girls who are falling victims to trafficking, and also the local leadership in liaison with the community members, they also realize that the increase in number of girls who are falling victims of trafficking have also increased. So we agreed together with the local communities and the local leadership that there is need to raise awareness to the community at large, to the other stakeholders. You know, we join hands together as the local leadership, the civil society, and also the community members, try and raise awareness on the issue of trafficking, because most of the girls in that particular area, I think the percentages of girls who are falling victims of trafficking in that particular area had also risen. So it was an initiative that was made by us as an organization, because we work with the communities, but also with the local leadership and the other community members.
What kind of programming do you have lined up, especially when you look at the state of the economy? There are no jobs, there is no cash available. Are you not going to see a repeat of women continually going ahead and taking up trafficking as an alternative source to get employment?
It's really a cause of concern, Marvelous, because looking at the current economic situation, we realize that most of these girls who are falling victims of trafficking, it's because of the current situation. They want to look for jobs, they want money to go to school, they're looking for means and ways to try and give them a reason to live, survival skills and all. So we as an organization have set up programs that we feel maybe they can protect our girls. In terms of this awareness campaign that we are going to do, we're not going to do it in one area. We'll try and do it in so many areas in terms of economically supporting women and girls in the communities, whereby they do income-generating projects that can help them support their education, support their children, and see how best also they can safeguard them.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Mrs. Ekenia Chifamba, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you so much, Marvelous.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye.
Local female gospel musicians are expected to be sharing the stage with top South African gospel artist Rebecca Malope at Harare Gardens in the capital this evening, in a show expected to attract hundreds of music followers and artists like Chawekazi Lady Chawe Damasani, who speaks to reporter Stadegile Mhlanga.
Gospel Divas is a show about celebrating women and their diversity within the gospel industry. And this is going to be into the various types of music that will be done on Sunday. I'm very excited to be able to share a stage with a gospel icon, Dr. Rebecca Malope. She is an inspiration, and I'm humbled. It's such an honor and a privilege. I myself will be doing poetry and I'll be singing on the day.
What are you going to be doing exactly, and what will you be telling the audience?
Lady Chai will be fusing jazz and poetry, so I'll be doing a rendition of neo-soul with poetry, and my message will be about celebrating our mothers as we celebrate God, because our mothers are a gift from God.
Can you give us some examples of your works, where you have appeared?
I have performed in a lot of places. I have been part of the cast of Zambezi Express as a singer, as a dancer, and an actress. I have featured in some local TV dramas on our national broadcasting, as Avon Kaka and Mr. Perfect. I've done a local film called Kumiso. I have appeared on the National Arts Festival.
That was poet Chawekazi Lady Chawe Damasani on the line with Studio 7 Stanekile Mhlanga from Bulawayo. And now the music of Rebecca Malope, Uhlale Khona. The music of Rebecca Malope, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now a quick recap. The MTCT says its public protests are a peaceful way of engaging the government and other stakeholders. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.